ladies, for that hard work you're doing. Probably don't have the words to say thanks to what, and to even understand what all you're doing, how many lives you're changing and saving. But I'll do this song, Hello Mama. True story about a young man who was rebellious, left home, bought him a Harley, headed to California to join the Hells Angels. But he had a praying mama. And it's hard to get past the prayers of mama, amen. And so he got under conviction, laid down his motorbike, used it for an altar, got saved, found a phone, called his mama. And his friend wrote this song about his life. Hello, mama. I just called to tell you all those tears you shed for me, they were not in vain. Something happened tonight while traveling down a country road. I thought that you should be the first to know that I am not the same. Now all those dreary days, they're over now. The sleepless nights are past, and all those prayers that you have prayed for so long, they're answered now at last. For I'm not the boy that I used to be. Mama, you can't sleep tonight, for I found Jesus. Now everything's all right. Every night before you'd go to sleep, I'd hear you pray the Lord my soul to keep, that I might find the way. I'm so thankful through all my loneliness and those wasted years. Mama, those prayers kept ringing in my ears every night and day. Now all those dreary days, they're over now. The sleepless nights are past, all those prayers that you have prayed for so long, they're answered now at last. For I'm not the boy that I used to be. Mama, you can't sleep tonight, or I've found Jesus. Now everything's all right. It's all right. With that, it's been seen. The empty chair in memory of some of those that have gone on this year, last year. Last year. Anyway, this is when we wrote from a message, a man was preaching about He had about 19 or 20 points on the empty chair. After about 19 points, the soul caught on fire. I thought, this is good. So I borrowed a few of his points to write this song. Here's a teaching in a little church where we used to sit, hear the words of life. But he left it all, find fame and fortune, and he dreamed of seeing his name up in lights. Now his mama kneels and prays for him every night, and she hopes that someday soon her son will see the light. There's an empty chair in a tavern where we used to sit and play his songs. But he left it all when the Savior found him. Now there's rejoicing heaven, cause he's coming home. He stopped by and put some money in that old payphone. He said, hey mom, it's your prodigal son, I've been gone too long. There's an empty chair table where for 50 years he sat most every night. But he left it all for a city where there's no death nor pain, and Jesus is the light. Where the half has not been told and faith turns into sight. And he longs for his family to take their blind. It was an empty chair up in heaven where Jesus sat at his Father's right hand. But he left it all to go to Calvary and to give his life a ransom for every man. You send it up on high to his throne again, where he became the door so we could enter in. There's an empty chair up in heaven waiting just for you. You're invited to a wedding that's gone. The millions have made excuses why they cannot come. The question is, will you attend the wedding of God's Son? Have you made your preparations to go there? 'Cause waiting heaven just for you is an empty chair. do three. Do it a little, one a little bit faster, so you don't go to sleep on me. The drunk on the street, the rich in the palaces, the poor and unlearned, and the men of degree, they all have a soul in need of salvation. But they all have to come by Calvary. Oh, but I am so glad that God saves old sinners. I'm thrilled and amazed that He sets men free. But the biggest surprise in redeeming old sinners is that He would stay an old sinner like me. How was I so bad that I needed forgiveness? And was I so low I had to be a thief? Yet I lived in sin's prison, and I was as lost as a sinner could be. Oh, but I am so glad that God saves old sinners. I'm thrilled and amazed that sets men free. But the biggest surprise in redeeming old sinners is that He would save an old sinner like me. Is that He would save an old sinner like me.
Have your Bibles. Psalm 123. And we are so glad to be back with you. We miss the pastor and his wife. Apparently they don't miss us, because they go cruising every January without us. This is one of the sweetest churches we come to. We appreciate your kindness, good hotel, and the snacks, the waters, and just the love, the little extra things you do to show your compassion, your love. And we heard there was a lady the other day. She was walking out in the town, and she saw one of her old friends, and she could not believe it. She stopped and said, "Could that be her?" And she went up to her and said, "What are you doing? You look 30 years younger." And she said, "Well, it's just these new vitamins I'm on. They reverse your age." And she looked at the baby. She didn't want to ask, "Is this your baby?" But she thought, "This surely she's too old to have a baby. She's pushing a baby in a stroller." And she said, "Now, is this your baby?" She said, "No, that's my husband. He overdosed." So, be careful on those vitamins, amen? All right, Psalm 123, verse 1 and 2. I consider these, old Mays Jackson used to talk about, they put out the little booklets of the outlines and the gold, called them gold nuggets. This is one of the gold nuggets in the Bible to me. If we can grasp a hold of this, Psalm 123, 1 and 2. "Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens." So he's praying to God. "Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her Mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love, your mercy, for the good service we've had, for the work of the ladies presented their ministry to us this morning. We pray you'd bless that ministry and continue to reach and save lives, not only spiritually, but physically. And Lord, we pray this morning your spirit would work in every heart. And if there's one lost, we pray you'd open their eyes to be saved. Help us as we preach to be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of you have lived long enough, you see patterns in people and sometimes even in our own selves, but especially people that are addicted, they go from hand to hand. They look to this hand and they look to that hand, and they take everything they can from mama and grandma and daddy, and then they'll sell their own children's, even their own gifts and toys and Christmas presents for another fix. And you see, they are looking from hand to hand for finances. And then sometimes it's physical needs. And sometimes we go emotionally looking from this person to that person to that person to meet our emotional needs. And if they don't, we unfriend them. Amen? And then even spiritually, we'll go sometimes from pastor to pastor to church to church. Oh, pastor, meet my spiritual needs. When the pastor is a good man, but he can't meet all your needs. He can't be there with you at 3 o'clock in the morning when you need to talk to God, the good shepherd. Amen. And the Bible says the horse leech has two daughters crying, give, give, give. And what we do, we become leeches, where we suck all the blood out of people. We become leeches. That's a sin. But the good news is God wants us to be a leech on his hand. He wants us. He loves for us to come to him so that he can meet our needs. And he says over and over in the Bible, if we go anywhere else to meet our needs, that is a form of idolatry. We're looking to making false gods when we look to others. God wants to meet our needs. And he said, my people have committed two evils. They have hewn for themselves cisterns, yea, broken cisterns that can hold no water. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewn for themselves cisterns. When the Hebrew people came back to Israel in 1948, they didn't have running water. As they started trying to plant their crops, they didn't have plumbing and city water and that type of thing. So they started trying to use the old ancient cisterns, and the ancient cisterns were filled with moldy water. Brown, moldy water that was filled with mosquitoes. And they would pour jet fuel in it and light a match to try to purify it. And a lot of times if they poured too much jet fuel, it would evaporate all their water. And they would get people to go down and try to clean those ancient cisterns, and they would pass out one after another. They would pass out because of the toxins. And God says, you've left me, the fountain of living water, for a cistern, a broken cistern that can hold no water. Amen. So here the psalmist says, we look unto thy hands and we're not disappointed. We're not disappointed. There was an explorer that was mapping out a new country years ago, and he had his team of explorers on their expedition, and they were navigating their way along. That was a bunch of Ford jokes. But anyway, they pointed to a mountain. The team leader pointed to a mountain, and he said, when we get to the top of this mountain, we'll be able to see the ocean. And they said they were so excited because they had gone through mile after mile of desert. They were so tired and so weary and so hot. And they knew that from the top of that mountain, they would see the ocean, and they were excited. So when they got to the top of the mountain, they saw nothing but more desert. And the explorer, the head explorer, he wrote on the map, he named that mountain Mount Disappointment. And there's going to be a lot of Mount Disappointments in your life. And you could get a notebook probably out and fill up fill a whole notebook with mount disappointments. When you've been disappointed in people and things and places. But when they walked on a few more days, they saw the ocean. A few more days they saw the ocean, and that is a type of God. If you'll just walk on a little bit more, when you get to that ocean called God, you'll not be disappointed. You'll not be disappointed in Him. We'll look at His hands. I'll stay a few minutes over here in Psalm 78. Psalm 78, verse 13, He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and He made the waters to stand as an heap. His hands are powerful hands. They can make a way where there is no way. When the world says no way, God says way. And He divided the sea. He pushed the mountains and the hills out of the way. And the Egyptians were behind them. And they said, there's no way, we're going to die. Right here, we're going to die. And God opened the sea. And they walked through. And parts of that sea were over a mile deep. People walked through on dry land. God can make a way where there is no way. And His hands are powerful hands. His hands are protecting hands. Psalm 78, verse 14. In the daytime, also He led them with a cloud. Somebody said, follow the cloud and not the crowd. And all the night with a light of fire. In the daytime, He protected them. We've been in Arizona when it was 116 degrees. You couldn't stay out in it. You could walk from the car to the house, and that was about it. But they were in the desert, and God became a cloud and a comfort to them and kept them from dying in that heat. And then at night, He became a light, a fire. Amen. Some of the deserts can get 40 degrees below zero. I just talked to a man in Iowa wanting us to come up for a meeting. I said, let's wait till spring. He said, it's going to be 20 below tonight and 50 mile an hour winds. And I said, we'll wait till spring to come. Amen. But God became a fire. He is what we need. He is what we need. There was a man we read a book by that years ago when communism came into Bulgaria. He said the communists would throw the pastors into prison and accuse them of being spies, and they would beat all the church members at night with rubber hoses so they wouldn't come back to church. And the church is emptied, and they said there's no hunger, no interest in God. The communists said there's no interest in God in Bulgaria, so they closed the churches and made museums out of them. And this man was put in a cell so far below ground, he said there was not one ray of light. Matter of fact, when he did see light again, it hurt his eyes so bad because he hadn't seen light. He was in the darkest dark. But he said it was so cold that the ceiling dripped. It was so small of a cell, he had to sit on the floor. He couldn't stand up, and the ceiling dripped with moisture. But he said God came in to that cell, and God became a source of light. And God became a source of heat. Amen. God was exactly what He needed. God knew what He needed, and God became what He needed. And they can take your liberty, but they cannot take your Lord. That's right. Amen. Yeah. Prison bars cannot keep God out. And He is a protecting God. He's a providing God. I love these verses. Verse 15, Psalm 78, 15. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He clave the rocks in the wilderness. Anybody here ever stuck a straw in a rock and tried to get water out of it? But God took a rock, which was a type of Jesus, and He clave the rock, and rivers of water came out. In the New Testament, God said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. He that believeth on me, as the scripture says, out of his spirit shall flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water flowed, and God met their need. People, places, and things, and positions, and possessions, and pills, and potions, and powders, and lotions cannot fill the emptiness in our soul. But God says, I'll give you rivers of living water in your soul. Rivers of living water. When Hudson Taylor was a missionary in China, there was no homeschooling in that day. And most of his children were in England. He was in China and his wife died. And then another child died, a little girl died. And then he said he was all alone in China by himself. All of his children were in England. He said, I got so lonely, so thirsty, I would cry. I would pray two words, I thirst, and God would quench that thirst. And he said, some days I would pray that 20 times a day, I thirst. And he said, I became so comforted that I didn't know that if my wife and children could be more at peace than I was, though they were in heaven and I on earth. God gave him what he needed, a river of living water. Psalm 78, verse 23. Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them, notice this word, the corn of heaven. Don't give your cornbread away. It might be from heaven. Man did eat angels' food. Man did eat angels' food. God rained down. Somebody figured that up as they gathered a homer. That was a measurement that they used in the Bible. And every man gathered a certain amount for himself. And somebody figured that up to be 12 million pints. 12 million pints a day God rained down for 40 years. See, God's not broke. The economy in America may be bad, but God's not broke. And he can pour you out a blessing. Matter of fact, he said in Malachi, if you'll bring your tithes and offerings into the storehouse, prove me, he said, prove me if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Amen. All of our blessings. God has blessed us and kept us and sustained us through the bad years. Our CPA looked at our income one time and said, are y'all okay? But we never missed a bill or a meal. Amen. You can look at us, tell us we never missed a meal. But God has been faithful to take care of us. He's not broke. Amen. God's hands are providential hands. He led them through the wilderness. If they could only seen there was a land of Canaan ahead. There was a land of Canaan. If they could have just kept following him through that hard wilderness. He had a land prepared for them. At the end of your wilderness is a Canaan land, a land of fruitfulness, a place of fruitfulness. His hands are promise keeping hands. Amen. Second Timothy 1:12. The second part of that, I'll read it. It's in a song. Most of us know this. 2 Timothy 1:12. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. His hands are promise-keeping hands. The other day, a friend of mine said he was watching a ball game. It was about a year ago. It wasn't the LSU game, don't worry. And he was watching the ball game, and he said the receiver... He said it looked like he jumped 10 feet in the air and he caught the ball that the quarterback committed to his hand and he won the game. That was the winning touchdown. And he said it looked like his hand was 3 feet long. And I thought, what kind of TV do you have? A wall-to-wall TV? But that quarterback committed that ball to his hand and he took it and won the game. But we have a much more sure hand. We have a hand that we can commit things to. Number one, commit your work unto the Lord. Commit thy works unto the Lord and he shall bring it. Commit thy work unto the Lord and thy thoughts shall be established. When you commit your work to him, he says, I'll establish your thoughts. When I go to a meeting, especially if it's a revival, they call it revival. That puts a lot of pressure on an evangelist because you don't bring revival in a suitcase. It comes by prayer. But I get worried. I start worrying. Then I remember this verse, commit thy work unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Commit it unto him, he'll establish your work. Commit your way unto the Lord. In verse chapter 37, Psalm 37, 5, I'll read it for you. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit your way. You say, I don't know. I don't see a way. There was a man yesterday, a couple of days ago, was asking us, took us out to eat. How did you know you were called into evangelism? How did you make it? He was worried about his insurance. He's worried about his job. He's worried about all these things. And all you can do when you commit your way unto the Lord, he brings it to pass. There's no way we can understand it or figure it out. It's by faith. When I was trying to get my, when I was first in evangelism, the first 7 years, my wife worked at a bank. My son was wanting to be with his dad. I was gone all the time, and I could not figure out how in the world is this going to work. And Brother J.C. House he was always doing what they used to call these stewardship banquets. And I got some of his cassette tapes. Back then it was tapes, and I thought, I'm going to figure out this financial thing so that my family can go with me. And the only word, the common denominator, kept coming up, faith. And I didn't want to hear that. Faith. Step out on faith. Amen. But you step out on the word. Step out on a promise. God gave us, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Amen. And we haven't wanted for any good things. We've traveled around the world. All because God is good. We were broke as Job's turkey. But God has taken good care of us. Commit your way unto the Lord. Then commit your burden. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. I think that's Psalm 55, 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Put your burden into his hands. Kyla Rowland has written about 1,000 gospel songs, and she said one day her little young boy, after he grew up, came in and he put his hand up and said, I don't want to hear your preaching anymore. And he left home, went the opposite way that she had raised him. And even he went so far as to be put in prison. And she said, I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep, I couldn't work. One day God came into that room and said, put him in this hand. Put him in this hand. And she wrote that song, The Great Physician's Touch is a balm that can heal broken hearts with one scarred hand. And she said, when I put my son into the hands of God, I could eat again. I could sleep. And several years later, her son came home. He got saved. He came home and apologized to his mother. Now he's singing her gospel songs, traveling the country, singing God's praises, because God is able. You got to put those burdens in his hands. They'll crush you. They'll crush you to the ground. There's a picture of Hercules stooped under the burden of holding up the world. And one of the old writers said, the burdens of this life, the burdens of the ministry, the burdens of life will crush a man to the ground. You've got to cast those burdens on him. Put them in his hands. Put yourself in his hands. The other day, my wife saw a video and made her crack up. She didn't have a nervous crack up. She just cracked up. She said this pastor was preaching on trusting the Lord, putting your life in his hands. And he got this tall, skinny teenager on a chair, stood him up on a chair and said, son, now just trust us. We're going to catch you. You got to trust us. You got to trust us. We're going to catch you. And so the tall, skinny teenager closes his eyes and he begins to concentrate. There's six men behind him. And he falls forward. And they scrambled and screamed to catch him. We were in a meeting the other day. I went through prostate cancer last year. And one of the old friends of ours, he's a doctor, ear, nose, and throat doctor. He's in his 70s. In Tennessee, and he came and he prayed for us. And he had just went through cancer. He was checking his throat one morning and found a cancer in his lymph nodes, and he just went through it and came through it successfully, his chemo. But he said something interesting as he was praying. He said, I put my life in God's hands. What he was saying is, God, my life is in your hands. If you want me here, if you need me here, I'll stay. If you need me to come home, I'll go home. It's in his hands. Put your life in his hands. Then put your soul into his hand. The other day there was a man that was, he was actually showing this on a rescue video. Two police, off-duty policemen were driving, and there was a man in an apartment that was on fire. He was on the second story. He was the only one left in the apartment building, second story. Flames were just about to take his life, and the two policemen saw it, and they said, there's no time to call the fire department. They drove their Tahoe through a fence right up next to the burning building, and they said, they got on top of the Tahoe and said, sir, jump into our hands. We'll catch you. You'll have to trust us. If you want to escape the flames, you'll have to jump into our hands. We'll catch you. And the man jumped. He trusted. He put his life, his soul into their hands, and they caught him and saved his life. And that is a picture of salvation. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, that word believe means to put total trust in the hands of Jesus. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. That's hell. But have everlasting life. That's heaven. You've got to believe. You've got to trust him with your soul. He's the only way to heaven. He's the only way to heaven. Then last of all, passionate hands. Psalm 40 verse 2. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. We saw a picture of God's love. There's four kinds of love in the Bible. There's family love, mama, daddy, son, daughter, aunt, uncle, cousin. Then there's brotherly love, phileo love. The city of Philadelphia was named after phileo, the city of brotherly love. When we drive through there, we keep going. We don't stop because we don't feel the love. And then there's eros love, the romantic love, the way you used to love your wife back when you was a stud muffin. Now there's more muffin than there is stud. And then there's agape love, God's love. God's love is the love for the unlovely. That's how God loves. He loves the unlovely. There's a story that pictures this, that we heard a lady who was 7 months pregnant, and she was attacked and brutally treated and left for dead. And she was the only one, maybe the only lady, that escaped from this man. They found out the man that did this was a serial killer and had killed over 40 women that they know of. And this lady escaped with her life, and the trauma. Can you imagine the trauma? We can't imagine the trauma, but this lady was so traumatized that she turned to drugs and alcohol to numb the pain. And the government took her children, and she said, if they're going to treat me like trash, I'll show them what trash is. And she went to the streets, homeless shelters, and in and out of jail. She said, I tried to get out of my lifestyle, but I couldn't. I kept trying to get out of that lifestyle, but I couldn't. And the only one that treated her with respect was the police detective. And he called her in over and over, sometimes out of jail. He called her in to his office to try to solve this mystery, And somebody said, never judge somebody until you know what they've gone through. Because if I had to go through that, I would have been probably worse than what she was. If you had to walk through her shoes, you may have done worse. And finally, after this Police detective retired. He married her. His love, his respect rescued her. Now that is a picture of God's love for us. He reached down. When the Savior reached down, he had to reach way down for me. I was lost and undone without God or his Son when the Savior reached down for me. God wants to forgive you of everything you've done because he loves you so much. He gave his Son to die for your sins. And we'll never understand how much he loves us. Psalm 18:6, God is for me. God is on my side. I shall not fear. What can man do unto me? God is on my side. What about it? Would you trust him? Would you trust his love to save you today? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love, your mercy. Take this simple message, Father. Seal it in our hearts. And help us to love you and accept your love, we pray. And bless the invitation. Maybe there's one lost that's been down a bad road. Circumstances have been horrible. And Father, help them to understand your sweet love for them, that they might be saved, cleansed, washed, become